listening to Truth Tea with Jono, and joining me in the studio is Harney. Say g'day.
G'day.
G'day. Wherever you may be around the world, it's good to have your company. And it is time for Culture Pearls with the Culture Curate. G'day, Devorah.
G'day, mates, and howdy.
Howdy.
Hey, now, howdy from Texas.
We've been doing some research, and we're still going on about the deodorant thing, because the thing is, the deodorant crystal stick that I've got, now I've stopped using my my conventional deodorant stick that I've been using for the last 20 years or whatever it is. It probably is longer than that, actually.
Probably.
How embarrassing. Like, you know, you get...
You find a good thing you stick to.
Yeah, you find a good thing you stick to. There you go. But then, you know, now that we're getting a little bit more health conscious, and what is it that we're rubbing on our body, and you know, all that sort of stuff, you look at the ingredients and you go, no, I don't know what any of those things are. They look kind of dubious to me. So we looked at some alternatives. Now, we did talk about the apple cider vinegar spray. I still haven't tried that because... this crystal alum stick that I'm using is working, but there was the scare about, you know, is that aluminium? Is that harmful? Is it a bad thing? So I looked it up, and I'm getting conflicting reports. Now, we did get some more comments from... Okay, so we did get a comment from Leah from Nourishing Treasures, which is a wonderful website, and she says, I researched the crystal rock deodorant years ago and found it was alum. That's true. That's what it is. But she has aluminium. And now I'm trying to figure out, and she says that, you know, it's toxic, it accumulates in the brain, so on and so forth. And that is in the comment section of Fluoride in the Tea, if people want to read that. But I've looked at different websites trying to get, you know, a few opinions on this. And some say that alum is okay, that it's not... aluminium, or more specifically, here's one website. What does this one say, Harry?
Aluminium chlorohydrate is a neurotoxin that alters the function of the brain, blood-brain barrier. It's a chemical used in most consumer deodorants and antiperspirants and may cause allergic reactions in some people. However, crystal deodorants do not use aluminium chlorohydrate or aluminium zirconium or any other harmful aluminium.
Okay, so apparently harmful aluminium, according to this website, is aluminium chlorohydrate or aluminium zirconium. So I don't know, but we've seen other websites too that say that alum and aluminium is just as harmful as each other. I would like the more input from the listeners on this one. Am I poisoning myself with my deodorant? Should I stop using it and poison everyone else with my BO? That is the question.
There are other alternatives as well.
Well, there are. The apple cider vinegar is working well for us. But I do think we have to realize that, you know, bauxite occurs naturally in nature. It's you know, there are veins of bauxite. Well, bauxite is what they make aluminum from, or is aluminum, you know, in the original form. And I, you know, I think that alum probably is some part of aluminum. I don't know what, because I'm not a chemist or anything.
So if there's any chemists listening, we would love to have a comment from you. Love some more input there, because it's a little bit confusing, I guess. And I mean,
it is.
You know, we picked this one up from our from Stephen Tamplin, the naturopath. He sells this particular stick, deodorant crystal, and so I would like to think that it's a good thing. But we need to just do a little bit more research on that one. But that's not what we're talking about today, is it?
Well, I do want to say one more thing. I'm going to date myself here real bad. I can remember in cartoons when I was little that they would talk about alum, and it would cause the cartoon character to pucker real bad. Just pucker up. Just I don't. And I've always, that's my experience with alum. Oh well, there you go.
Does that actually happen?
It
is it a
bad
side effect of alum? Is that going to happen to me? Let me know before it happens, listeners. That would be good. Now, Dev, last week, what you said we were going to talk about was the little miracle wonder that is the lemon. And I, you know what? I was so excited because I've got this beautiful lemon tree. When we arrived here a year ago, it's almost a year since we've been where we are now. And there was this poor, diseased, struggling lemon tree. And I looked at it and I thought, oh, you look like you're about to die. Because it was probably, you know, it's not been that long since we were in drought, you know, and a lot of the trees have sort of looked like they've had a hard time. This lemon tree was just struggling. So I pruned it right back. I cut off all the dead wood and fertilized it, and really, you know, in the hope that it would come good. Anyway, so it did come good. It suddenly sprang to life and started shooting out flowers, and then it started developing lemons, and then more flowers and more lemons, and now it is absolutely full of lemons. But there's these little spots on the leaves and on the lemons, and I did take it to a plant guy, you know, what do you call those things? Not a botanist, but, you know, the guy that sells the plants. Well, the plant shop guy.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
That guy. I said, look at the leaves, the spots and stuff. He goes, oh, no, it's just stressed. You need to give it more fertilizer. You know, so I did that. But, you know, we cut open one of the lemons recently and it's full of grubs. And I think they're all going to be like that. And I don't know if it's the fruit fly, because I didn't think that fruit fly penetrates citrus, particularly lemon skin. But whatever it is, it looks like it's full of grubs. So I'm going to have to get to the bottom of that. And it looks like all those beautiful lemons are going to be chicken food.
Aww. Aww, I know. That's a shame.
I'm really bummed out about that, because it looks so beautiful. But they've all got these little spots, and I think they're all infected with whatever it is. So I'm going to have to get to the bottom. I mean, we do have fruit fly here, and it is devastating, Zeb, because we've got this beautiful apple tree. It was full, and I mean full, of beautiful red apples. And we couldn't eat them. They were chicken food. We had these. We have a peach tree. We have an apricot tree. We've got quince. We've got all these beautiful, beautiful trees, and they all have the fruit fly here in cow. And so
Well, it's just that it's the orchard here has been neglected for so long. I think that's probably what it is. It might just take us a couple of years to get it up
so
and running again.
So this time of the year I'm rigorously pruning. I want to really, really prune the trees, and I want to implement as much natural remedies as I can in regards to keeping the fruit fly down, protecting the fruit so that we can enjoy it, because there's so much of it there. Anyhow, the poor lemon seems to be a victim of that. So,
we could probably solve the problem instantly if we use chemicals, but we really would like to try and avoid that if possible.
Right. Well, and isn't it interesting that we're going back and finding out, you know, for thousands of years people had to, you know, find this stuff out and you know, work with their lemon tree, you know, so there's bound to be natural ways and ways to get it to be ripe. People have had lemons for thousands and thousands of years, there's got to be a way, and I know that, you know, y'all will research it out and find it.
We certainly
Well,
if my lemon tree was healthy, Deb, what would I be doing with it?
Well, I think there's still some things that you can do with it, with some of the lemons, just using the, you know, the parts of the skin that look good, parts of the yellow part and the white part. But I have to say this, and Jono's going to sit there yawning now, but I had a lady write to me, and she was watching a home shopping network, and she wrote to me, she said, Deb, they've got these cosmetics now with kefir in them. Mm. And she said, the one I'm watching is $60 an ounce.
Whoa. With kefir.
Yeah, yeah. And so I, you know, I'm like, oh, come on now, you know. And I had started using some whey on my face after I washed it. Mm-hmm. And it's oh my gosh, makes your face really soft, makes it, you know, feel good and everything. So did a little further research and come to find out, dairy and fruits have what's known as alpha hydroxy acid. Well, come to find out, all these dermatologists in the world are using alpha hydroxy acids to do chemical peels on ladies, well, probably men too, on their skin to remove the wrinkles, remove the dead skin, remove the wrinkles. It's not a permanent fix, but people go spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars on these chemical peels. And as it turns out, if you'll just put kefir on your face, and what I did, I shredded the skin of a lemon, the yellow part and the white part. I just took the whole lemon and I just started grating it and put that in a little jar of kefir. I keep it in the bathroom. When I get through washing my face, I put that on my face, and the little grainy lemon, you know, is kind of an exfoliant. And I've got this wonderful beauty treatment of full of alpha hydroxy acids that actually did begin to kind of peel my face a little bit, and my face turned, you know, softer. And what I did, I just would remove it after it's set for about 3 to 5 minutes. I would remove it with a soft cloth and then put my coconut oil on. I use coconut oil on my skin.
Hang on, Steph. No, I've got to stop you. I don't understand what you're saying. Are you telling me that you're dissolving your face?
I don't get it.
What is this chemical peel? No, what's happening?
My face has become younger and a delightful fruit salad.
Hang on. I don't understand. Hang on. You were saying something about a chemical peel. Just take me back and explain to me what that is.
Ladies go to the dermatologist and they put this solution on their face that is really mostly, I guess, alpha hydroxy acid. And the dead top layers of the skin that are going to shed off anyway, peel that off.
You should see the look on his face.
No, wait.
He has no idea people do this.
No. What you're telling me, this is the thing, right? People, what you're saying is people put stuff on their face that makes their face peel off. I don't understand.
The very small top layers.
But they pay hundreds of dollars.
Why? What is wrong with the top layers of skin? Shouldn't the top layers
have wrinkles on them?
Come on, people. Are you serious? I don't understand.
Really?
No, they don't, Deb. You're making this up. They don't peel their faces off and pay for hundreds of dollars to have their faces peeled off. I don't get it. What are you saying?
It's true. It is so
Why,
true.
Why, though?
I'm telling you.
It's just like the women that my 7-year-old the other day said to me, "Mom, why do some ladies put texture on their lips?"
Yeah. I'm with him. I'm with my boy. I know what because mummy doesn't use lipstick or anything like that, but he's observed because we went to a classical music concert the other day, and he just observed that, that can't be real. They must be putting texture on their lips. What's with that? That's pretty weird, eh, right? And I'm like, yeah, son, I'm with you. I don't get it. But now you're telling me not only do women put texture on their lips, but they peel off their face. It just gets worse and worse. I don't understand. I mean, doesn't it feel all raw afterwards?
Yeah, it would.
Well, I think at the dermatologist it does, but it doesn't, in my bathroom because it's I'm getting, the real thing. And not only are the alpha hydroxy acids working, but the other, wonderful ingredients in the kefir and the lemon are, the vitamin C. Vitamin C is so good for your skin. It's not just good for your insides, it's good for your outsides. Mm-hmm. Just awesome thing that vitamin C is. And so I'm getting the same thing in a, I'm not even going to say it's that much milder because after about 2 or 3 days, I did get the little stinging sensation in a couple of places. That's the hallmark of alpha hydroxys. It'll sting. It'll sting your face because it's working. It's acid, and it's going to peel that top layer off and remove wrinkles.
So the lemon is the acid part, or what's actually in the kefir?
Both, actually both.
Yeah, okay.
Actually both. Yeah.
Well,
but I wanted the vitamin C, also to sink in, and I wanted the lemon juice to. I have like one little place I'd like to have it lightened a little bit. And it's working. It's slower, but it's working.
Okay. Well, we've actually got a bit of a success story here too, actually.
No, I'm still stuck on this. No way.
What?
So if you've been, out exploring in the desert, or you've been out on the yacht for a week, or you've been, you spent too much time in the sun and then a dust storm came and you had no shelter, then eventually your face has sort of gone dry and crackly, and then you would use this, right? Or what?
He's such a minimalist. He is.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, look, anyway.
All right. I I'm going to have to take some time and do a little bit of research and try and understand what it is you girls do to yourselves.
Oh, we don't
dissolving your face with.
Well, no. I mean, the kefir and the lemon is a look. Honestly, look, Bridget. Actually, since we discussed it off air last week, Dev, I've actually got our daughter Bridget, who's 14 and struggling with teenage face, teenage pimples, and all the rest of it. And she's just had a particularly bad bout in the last couple of months. And I said to her, "Look, why don't we just try this?" And she agreed to, and I have to say it is making a difference.
She says it makes a difference.
Yes.
I mean, it's noticeable by everybody, and she feels good about that. Now, we tried two things, right? One of them was a suggestion by naturopath Stephen Tumplin that was
Blessed thistle.
Blessed thistle. So she's been taking blessed thistle, a herb that he recommends. And the other thing was the kefir.
Kefir and the lemon, yeah.
Yep.
So she hasn't actually been leaving it on her face. She's actually just been washing her face with it and just massaging it in and then washing it off in the shower. And it's made a noticeable difference.
Yes, it will. That I think if I remember, I said something about my daughter. She's in her 30s, and she got the adults, what they call cystic acne.
Yeah.
And went to the dermatologist and spent hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And, of course, you know, I come along and say, honey, why don't you just drink this?
Yeah.
You know, so she started making the kefir, and she drank it, and her face cleared up, and she doesn't have to use the stuff anymore.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
And so it's...
Definitely. Look, honestly, I'm actually astounded that it's only been a week and it's actually been almost instantaneous, the results. And I think it is a combination, but I definitely think the kefir and the lemon juice is really helping. And she loves it. She loves washing her face with it. She's like, it just feels tingly and fresh and soft, and it's really nice. Now, the other thing that she has had a problem with is dandruff as well. And we've been washing her hair with kefir.
All right.
Oh, hang on. We haven't. I'm not.
Not you.
No.
I mean me and her.
Right, okay.
That's the ticket. That it works, I'm telling you.
And it is. It really is working. That is almost instantly solved as well. I'm just amazed. And it's free. It didn't cost anything.
I know.
So there's a couple of positive results. So now, but before we go down that rabbit trail, let's come back to the lemons, because there's one application for the lemon.
Yep.
What else can we do with lemons, Dev?
Well, actually, lemons are antibacterial, and they're antiseptic. So you can actually, like a paper cut, you can, I know this sounds awful because you think, oh my gosh, I put lemon juice on that paper cut and you're going to absolutely
You're peeling off my face and now you're torturing me with lemon juice on my paper cut. What are you saying?
But it actually does wonders. I mean, it really does. It will heal, you know, help to heal it much faster.
Mm-hmm.
And it's antiseptic, you know, there. You can actually fight a fever with a mixture of lemon juice and cod liver oil. These are the old time remedies, but they actually do work. You know, these things will work if you try them. It's just amazing, because a lot of times fevers are caused by bacterial infections. Of course, I'm not sure that the lemon exactly would work on a viral infection. But then see, to me, that's where the kefir comes in, because the kefir would work on the viral part. So the lemon juice and cod liver oil to reduce a fever, and a little bit of honey, you know, if you think you can't stomach that. This is something new for me, but I got to be honest, I have experienced it in my golden years now. it's called restless leg syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought that's a load of bunk. But you know, I actually have had that on occasion. I'm saying the last year or two. But I think it's from not drinking enough water. But also, I've found out that if you'll put some lemon juice in the water, and especially, you know, you don't have to drink it right before you go to bed, but make sure you're getting enough water throughout the day and put lemon juice in it. This actually helps the restless leg syndrome.
Really?
So much. Yeah, because there's minerals in these little lemons. There's calcium, there's potassium, there's magnesium. And
that would
those
be it.
Things,
yeah.
That's
an interesting thing, Deb, because I know, well, first of all, lemon juice in your water will help to alkaline your water, which is a very good thing. I mean, even though a lemon is acidic, for some reason, when you take lemon juice, it results in an alkaline reaction, and that's a good thing to help bring down the acidity of the body. So it's always an excellent idea, and I think it just tastes great, you know, to put a little bit of lemon juice, squeeze a little lemon juice into your water. That's a winner. But you're right, restless leg syndrome, it's a difficult thing to explain. But when you're lying in bed and for some reason you've just sort of got to flex your muscles a little bit, or just stretch your legs, or just it's just, I don't know, it's a difficult thing to, but those who experience it know what we're talking about. And what do you do with that? And generally, the first thing you would think of, or the first thing that maybe a doctor would tell you, is that you're deficient in magnesium primarily. Right. And and so therefore, if you're enriching your water with something that has magnesium, like lemon juice, that's definitely going to help. So that would make sense.
But I also think that it's definitely, and especially if you get cramps, if you get foot cramps and the what we call Charlie horses in the calf, that's really a sign of dehydration.
Charlie horses?
Yeah.
What's a Charlie horse?
Where your calf knots up. Your calf will just knot up. Oh,
like
lots
a cramp.
Of pain. Yeah,
oh,
lots
wow.
of pain.
Ouchie.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. It hurts. It hurts real bad.
Lemons. Yeah.
Yeah. And so is it just lemons, or can we, I mean, does that extend to, like, say, grapefruit, or is it specific?
Well, it's interesting because different citrus is really good for different things,
right.
Which that's really fascinating too. I kind of focused on lemons, you know, for this week, but I did, you know, read some other things about, you know, grapefruit. Grapefruit has, you know, some different properties than lemons do, and oranges. Mm-hmm. But the little lemon's just a little ball of dynamite.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It'll help. I won't say it'll cure a hangover, but it'll go a long way to help.
People who have hangovers should suffer with the hangover.
So it'll do that. And I mean, there's some studies that are being done with mice concerning lemons and memory. Oh. And it's at least right now, the results, I guess, aren't completed, but at least the results so far have showed that lemons have a real positive effect on preventing memory loss.
That's really interesting.
So,
because I'm actually taking, I know it's not a lemon, but it's actually called lemon balm. Lemon balm.
Yeah,
it's a type of mint.
Yeah.
And one of the things is supposed to improve your memory. So that's really interesting that they may have just associated it with the lemon.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Hey, it reminds me of something else too. Dev, when I worked in the music industry, whenever we had to clean instruments, sometimes if there was like a sticky substance, maybe that someone had put tape or a sticker or something on their instrument they wanted to be cleaned, we would use, to get that sort of sticky substance off timber, you would use a little bit of lemon oil. And I'm just wondering now, have you researched anything in as far as cleaning products are concerned in regards to lemons?
Well, you can actually just take the skin of a lemon. You know, you would need to... it's hard to show you on radio, where you would get the membrane part, mm-hmm. you know, away, and you just have the white part and the yellow part left in a large piece,
mm-hmm.
and you can actually rub that on your furniture, because that's where the oil is in the yellow part, and you can just rub that across your furniture and take a cloth and buff it. It works. Now, Hani sent me something about fermenting orange peels. To use in cleaning, and I haven't been able to try that yet, but I can't wait to try that.
No, I haven't been able to try it yet either. It's basically like your ferment, except you use, and you can use lemon as well. It's just any citrus, really. But the orange gives it that nice orange scent. And it's just basically fermenting.
Okay, so you use the orange for the scents, but potentially lemon might even be better as
you use any sort of citrus peel, and you just but you ferment it in vinegar. You just ferment it in vinegar for 3 weeks, and then you can use it as a cleaner.
Hey, I'm liking the sound of that, because as I've mentioned before in the program, I love the smell of vinegar as opposed to conventional cleaning products. And if it's got vinegar that's been infused with the orange or the lemon or the grapefruit or whatever it might be,
it'd be lovely.
Oh, it'd be nice.
It's on my to-do list after I've finished my last assignment.
I might even do some. I might even do some cleaning. No, I'm out.
Miracles. Oh, yeah. We won't hold our breath on that.
Well, that's the thing. I won't have to hold my breath because vinegar and lemon.
Yeah.
Yum.
You know, most doctors will tell you too, or at least for sure the naturopathic doctors will tell you to, when you get up in the morning, the first thing you should do is drink a cup of lemon water.
Sure.
And if you like it hot, that's good. I mean, it detoxes the liver.
Mm-hmm.
It is really good for the bladder, and it helps prevent kidney stones. And if you have some kidney stones, it can help dissolve them.
Do you know, I have heard that so many times, Dev, and I know that is true. true, because so many people have said, you know, this is what I do. It's really, really good for you. You look it up and it's everywhere. It's just common knowledge. If you drink lemon and water in the morning, it's just a great way to start the day and to start your system moving inside, and just cleanses you out. And yes, I know that to be the case, but do you know what? I every time someone says it, I feel bad because I haven't been doing it. And the reason why I haven't been doing it is because I'm in the habit of just having a nice cup of dandelion tea every single morning. And I
know.
And it's hard because, you know, you got your dandelion tea and it's got milk, and
the problem is, you don't, once you've had the lemon water, you don't feel like a dandelion tea anymore.
No, I know, but I know it's a healthy thing to do, and I know that it helps to bring your body to a more alkaline state rather than an overly acidic state, and it's good at cleaning the inside and getting your body started in the morning. Basically, it's a really, really
good
thing to do.
But at least you're not starting the day with a cup of black tea or a cup of coffee.
Which is how I used to start the day. And so I've gone from that to the dandelion tea, but it'd probably be better again if I go to the, like, start with the water and the lemon.
We could actually put it on your bedside table the night before and drink it before you even get out of bed.
Perhaps. Now, Dev... What about now? I mean, I know you much prefer the milk kefir, but if you water kefir the lemon, is that going to be even better again? I would imagine it would, wouldn't it?
Oh, it would. Yeah, it would be wonderful. And I've really been working on this water kefir thing because we enjoy it so much. And so I've just, I let it go for, you know, two and a half days now, so that, you know, all of the sugar, almost all of the sugar is gone. And that's working better for us, and I feel better about it. And yes, you could put sliced lemons in it. Now I'm talking about on the second ferment. You ferment your water kefir, you pour it off, then you would put whatever fruit and sliced lemons and lemon juice in that, you know, would be really good, and let it second ferment for about another 12, you know, to 18 hours, and it would be delicious. I haven't tasted water kefir yet that I don't like, and that really hurt my feelings because I just didn't want to ingest that much sugar. So I learned, you know, to use a lot more grains, and let, so they'll eat up the sugar and use the same amount of sugar, and also let it go longer. I let it go 48 hours, sometimes even a little bit longer, so that the kefir greens have had a chance to really eat up all the sugar, and it's working much better for us now.
Okay, so let's just talk about this for a minute. So you, with your water kefir, it's just the water and the sugar and the grains, or you put in something else in it when it's on its first ferment?
No, not on the first go around. That's it, those three things.
Okay. And then the second, because I used to actually put a little bit of ginger in with ours as well.
Ooh, and
that'd be great.
It was very, very refreshing. You're making me want to go and get some more grains and start the water kefir again.
Yeah, it's funny. I kind of think of, like, we're heading into winter here, and I think of the water kefir as a summer thing.
Yeah,
but
we didn't have it this year.
But
one thing I did do over the summer was I did the Nourishing Traditions book, I did the apple cider. My goodness, that was good.
And I bet that was good.
It was basically fermented with whey, and it was just delicious. But I just didn't have enough apples.
Right, yeah. That's the thing. But see, we're headed into summer, and it's already started being really, really warm here. And I just, we thought, gee, this is so refreshing, and it's so nice, and, you know, cold, and I just hated to give it up. So I researched until I, you know, saw, and it really should have dawned on me that the longer I left it, the kefir greens would eat up the sugar, and you just got to leave it longer, and that way you're not getting in, you know, some kind of big giant dose of sugar. And actually now, whatever whole fresh fruit I put in it doesn't matter.
Sure.
Then I'm getting the benefit of that because it's, you know, second fermenting for a while, and of course we know that the ferment's going to bring out those minerals and vitamins and enhance them.
Mm-hmm.
So I did fresh blueberries tonight.
Oh, yum.
It's in the second ferment now.
Now what sort of sugar are you using?
It's now here in the United States, they call it raw sugar or turbinado. And all that means is that it's the sugar that's at the stage before they've removed the molasses.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Kind of brown looking.
Brown sugar, raw sugar.
Yeah, so you don't want to use refined sugar, obviously. Even the molasses is probably something you could use as well. which is the state it's in before it gets to be brown sugar, I suppose. Mm. So, Dev, coming back to the lemon, have we exhausted that? Is there one more thing that we can...
I've got one.
Oh, you've got... Honey's got one.
Well, I mean, the fermented lemon. I've been using that on roast chicken. It is incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's my very favorite.
Oh,
that's
my... it is just incredible.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, just tonight I posted on Facebook this, somebody put on Nourishing Traditions actually had a chicken in a pan, and they lifted up the skin and put a whole stick of butter between wow. the skin and the chicken. Yum. And had some garlic in the pan, and I said the only thing that's missing is fermented lemons yes. in that.
It's exceptional, so and it does. It's not the same taste that you get when you just use raw lemon. It's right. just exceptional, and that with a little bit of fermented garlic as well. Highly yep. recommend it.
Yes, that's my sister Shira taught me how to do that, and it's my absolute favorite. Yeah. Oh my goodness!
Yeah,
how about that?
I'm going to go see her Friday, so maybe she'll make it for me.
Nice. Hinge, hinge. So
yep.
So there it is. The wonderful. Creation that the gift of our Father that is the lemon. And Father, I pray that we can fix the lemon tree and all of our fruit trees. It would be great. So but in the meantime, lemons and all the wonderful uses that are there available to us. Dev, thank you for coming back on the Truth to You and sharing with us about the little miracle that is the lemon.
Oh, I'm happy to. Thank you for having me.
Always wonderful to have you. And the website, of course, is culturedkaraite@blogspot.com. That's culturedkaraite@blogspot.com. And also culturedkaraite on Facebook. You can find her there and like the page, engage with her there. And until next time, dear listeners, you've been listening to Truth to You. Be blessed. Be set apart by the truth of our Father's word. Shalom.